Lord. Praise the Lord. We are here, ready to go. Welcome to Manifest Church. We're glad you're here with us this morning. It's a beautiful morning. We had the rain is gone, and now we have beautiful sun, but it's very windy. So make sure if you got stuff in your yard, you put it nice and tight so it don't fly around the yard for you. And it might be in your neighbor's yard. I remember one time we had left our tent up, and I mean, that thing took off. It was like four or five houses down. It took off. It was totally broken and everything. But, you know, yes. So be careful with things, that make sure they're tied down or whatnot. But praise God, we're here this morning, and I'm so excited. We're going to continue today in the book of Romans. As we're looking into this book, we have been in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to continue in Romans chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. As we look at this study here, we're going to be in verses 18 through 32 this morning. So Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. The title of today's message is God's Wrath Revealed. How many of you know that this is different from where we were just with the Apostle Paul, had just been talking about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ? Remember verses 16 and 17, the theme of the book is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." If you remember that, let me turn off my phone here from Get On Focus. People like to text this time of the day. So anyway, Paul now switches gears and he begins to talk about, he talked about the salvation of God that we have in Christ who believes in him, that it is by faith, and the righteousness of God is revealed by faith, and our salvation is found in Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of it. He can't wait to talk to the Roman saints about it. And now he switches gears and he begins to talk about what God is saving us from. How many of you know there's no point in salvation if there's no impending danger? Why am I worried about, why would I want salvation if I don't think I'm in trouble? I was telling Larry this morning when we were talking in the living room getting ready to come to church, and I said, you know, what if we were in the ocean, I'm in my boat and you're swimming out there, we brought our boat and we're out there, everybody's swimming in the water, and it's just you out there now, we all went in the boat, we're all just kind of relaxing, and you're still swimming out there, enjoying it, treading water, having a good old time. And I say, Larry, come on, I want to save you. And you're like, what are you talking about? I'm fine, and I'm treading water, everything's fine. I'm Larry, come on, I want to save you. And the thing is, what's happening? Larry is looking at me like, why do you need to save me? I'm fine. Looking good. The issue is, Larry doesn't see that Jaws is coming, the great white shark is coming for him. But here's what happens today in our society, in our culture, in our time, in the Western church. We're telling people to get saved and they don't know what danger they're in. We're asking people that Jesus came to save them from what? What's the danger? Well, we got to explain there's a danger coming. The Bible says it is destined for man to die once, and after this we face judgment. We got to stand before our Maker. And God has brought his word to us, and he's brought apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors to preach his word. He's brought Christians to tell you about this message. And there is something that is coming, just like Larry didn't understand why I was saying, hey, I want to save you. And Larry's just thinking like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't tell him that the danger that was coming. Now, I promise you, if I would have told Larry, there's a great white shark heading your way and that thing is coming, I promise you he would have turned white and jumped out of that water. I mean, because all of us, I would have turned paler than I am right now. Why? Because there's impending danger. And I know I need a savior. I need someone to save me from what's coming. Well, Paul begins to switch gears and he begins to talk about why we need the savior. What's the importance of this? And he talks about the wrath of God. And this is where we're going to be. God's wrath being revealed is so important. Without any danger, there's no need for salvation. I believe in today's preaching, the gospel is missing this piece. Many people are preaching. I remember growing up, there was always an element of God's wrath in the preaching. Well, today they say, well, hey, listen, that was back in the day, fire and brimstone, and we don't need to be preaching about that anymore, and we don't need to scare people and this and that. Let me tell you something. There is healthy fear. There is such thing as a healthy fear of God. And a lot of people are missing that. There are people today who do not have a healthy fear of God. They don't understand what God is going to do to the wicked, to the unrighteous, to the ungodly, what God is going to do. They don't have a clue. And we have to be, as Christians, we're responsible with God's word to warn them of what's coming. Why? Because if they're not warned, they don't see a need for the Savior. What's the point? I'm fine. Hey, God is a good God. You know, I've done all this, and, you know, like I said last week, how many of you know there are people today that say they love and believe in God, and they continue living in sin, as we all once did, right? We all once, you know, thought in ourselves, I believe in God in my own way, but, you know, I'm still, you know, having sex out of marriage. I'm still lying, stealing. I'm still doing the things that I should not be doing that I know do not please God, but I have been darkened in my mind and my understanding. I don't understand that these things are offensive to a holy God. We were singing this morning, you are holy, holy. And it was from the book of Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it said he saw the train of his robe, it filled the temple. Huh? And as he began to see how holy and awesome God is, and the angels who were crying out, holy, 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 he says, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people who are unclean lips. He saw the depths of his sin, and he realized how holy and awesome God is, and he didn't go like, oh, no sweat, God's cool with me. No, he realized who he was seeing. He saw the creator of heaven and earth who is holy. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And I believe we're missing some of this in our preaching today. That's why people don't have a healthy fear of God. The sinner doesn't fear God, and the Christian doesn't have a fear of God. And that's sad. And we need to restore that. I want to challenge pastors who are hearing me. Maybe you come across this message. I want to encourage you to get bold and begin to declare the full counsel of God's word, the full gospel. Don't leave this out. Remember that there are people that need to understand that there's a day of wrath coming. Obviously, for the believer, we don't have to worry about that. But I'm talking about, we need to make sure that people understand what's happening in this world and why God is going to do this. So that there, just reminding people, there's a day coming. And he's going to pour out his wrath on all humanity for their sinful behavior towards him and each other. See, God is not going to let all this go. He's not going to be okay with what people have been doing to each other. He's not going to let people get away with this thing. Some people say, oh, these people are getting away with murder. They're doing what they're doing, and they're getting away with it. I promise you, if they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wrath is going to be upon them. God is just, and he's holy, and he's going to bring every wicked deed to account, because we can't expect anything less from him. His nature is holy. His nature is righteous. Again, in God there is no darkness. He is light. Remember, John wrote that in his epistle. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen. So let's begin reading in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 32. Let me pray as we get ready. Father, I ask you to speak through me today. Holy Spirit, empower me now. Give me boldness, Lord. Lord, help me to minister this word in grace and truth as you came. Lord, so many times, because we become cowards, so many times, we only bring grace, but we don't bring truth. And then there are those who are so religious that they bring so much truth but never offer anybody grace. But today I pray, Lord God, that in my message, those who are listening here, those who are going to watch later or watching or listening later, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to them the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Empower me now, Lord. I can't do this without you, Lord. You are the only thing good in me. It's you, Lord. And I ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read. Let's start in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Wow. What a moment here. What are we seeing here? We are seeing God revealing his wrath, that why he's going to pour it out. So the first point I want you to see here, Paul, right there in the very first verse that we read in verse 18, Paul begins to say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. See, wrath here in the Greek is the word orge, and it means anger exhibited in punishment, hence used for punishment itself. This is God pouring out his anger towards the sin that is in people and in the world. Scholar writes it like this. He says, I like the way he put it. He says, it's unnecessary and it weakens the biblical concept of wrath of the wrath of God to deprave it from its emotional and effective character. To construe God's wrath as simply in his purpose to punish sin or to secure the connection between sin and misery is to equate wrath with its effects and virtually eliminate wrath as a movement within the mind of God. Wrath is the only revulsion of God's being against that which is the contradiction of his holiness. In other words, we can't remove that God is fully involved in executing this wrath in his emotions and who he is, in his very nature, to say it that way, in his nature. God in his nature, it is just in his nature to come against that which is contrary to his holiness. He doesn't allow it. And so for us to take it away, it's just God's punishment. No, it's more than that. It's when you think about, remember, when the Bible says not to grieve the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed with. We can grieve God. We can hurt God by our actions, our deeds. We can hurt God by what we're doing to him and to others. I want you to see some passages of scriptures. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 3. Listen, I'm going to go to a lot of Bible passages, so if you want to just take notes and go back to them later on today, do that, because it's going to be a lot. But if you can catch, just keep up with me, praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I want you to see John the Baptist declaring about this to the religious leaders of his day. Think about that. He is speaking to people who go to church. He's not just speaking to lost people. John is preaching to the church. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Again, that is Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance.'" You see, John the Baptist, there were these religious leaders of the church at that time, in the synagogue of the Jews, and they were coming and they were full of all their pride, and they were looking at John and who are you? And John looks at them straight in the eye, because he's a prophet, and he's speaking to them, and he says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He said, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, let your life reflect what you say you believe. Let your deeds follow what you believe. If you're truly repentant in heart, then do what pleases God. Obey the Lord. John said, you know what? And he goes on, he says, you know what? Don't think to yourself because of your heritage, "Oh, I'm Jewish and I'm one of Abraham's descendants." Don't think that you could be saved from what's coming because of that. Don't lean on that. He said, because God can raise up from these stones anyone to be a son of Abraham. Can you imagine? He's talking to people who have pedigree. They're the religious folks. They're the ones that, hey, they tell the church, they tell the people what to live and how to live. Oh, God is reading their mail through the prophet John. And John the Baptist is declaring the truth. Why? Because John came to prepare the way. John came to bring down mountains and make valleys, bring it all level to clear the way of the Lord. And his message was one: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John saw right through the religious people. And I hope that word cuts right through you. If you're a religious person, that it cuts right through you and it causes you to realize, hey, don't think, "Oh, I grew up in church. My grandma took me to church. Oh, I believe some things about God." Listen, the devil and his demons believe in God, but they tremble. They don't have a saving faith. They are rebellious against God. Jesus said it like this: "Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say?" It's very clear. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36, another place where we see the wrath of God. What am I doing? I want you to see. See, too many times preachers talk too much, and I want you to see it in the Bible. I want you to see what God says. I'm declaring to you what God says, not what I say, what God says. Look what he says through John as he writes in his gospel. He says, in John chapter 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Without Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. When I didn't have Christ, the wrath of God was on me. Apart from Jesus, I didn't have hope. His wrath was coming for me. Why? Because I was an object that was sinning against him. I was offending God by my actions and the things I was doing in my life. And just like you, maybe you're watching, you're hearing this and it's cutting right to the heart, and you realize you're doing some things that you know are offending God. You know how you know it? In your conscience. You know God has placed in your conscience what's right and wrong, and you know what you're doing isn't right. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to see this. Once again, it says, "But because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." Can you believe that you could be storing up wrath, more wrath for yourself on the day of judgment? When you harden your heart to God, when you reject what God has to say, when you reject the message of His Son, the testimony that God has given about His Son, that eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ, and you continue to harden yourself to that message and say, "I don't want to hear it, I don't want none of that," you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of judgment. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 and 17. Let's look at that. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation. It says, "Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? I mean, this is in the time of the tribulation. Men are going to cry out to the mountains to cover them from the wrath that God is going to pour out on this earth. Can you imagine? God's fury and wrath against the wickedness of men is going to be poured out in such a way that people are going to cry out that the mountains would cover them from the face of the Lamb and his wrath. You see, God isn't going to play. God is going to deal with sin. But there's a time that God has given us, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I want you to understand about this wrath that God is going to pour out. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 11, I want you to see this. Again, Revelation chapter 14, let's go there. Revelation, I'm going to go to that one myself. I want you to see verses 6 through 11. Revelation 14, 6 through 11. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passions of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships a beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, pour full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Can you, man, I mean, this is incredible. God remembers mercy in his wrath. He's sending, an angel is declaring the eternal gospel, and he's telling people, fear God and worship him. And if you take that mark, you're going to experience that wrath that he just said. If you take the mark of the beast, and we know, as we've been looking in Daniel, and when we finish Daniel, we know the mark of the beast. We know what we're talking about here is the Antichrist. Let me give you a little help on that. He's the man of lawlessness that's going to be revealed one day. That everything in this world is getting ready for him to come and reveal himself. Go with me to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 15. Oh, man. This is a glorious moment. But it's a moment of judgment, boy. This is his second return. This is the return of the king. And in Revelation 19, 15, it says, "From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty." Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not born again, if you're not a born again believer in Jesus Christ, my hope is that these passages of scriptures we've read about the wrath of God would literally scare the hell out of you. That if you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that what we just read that is coming on the world would scare hell out of you, literally. And that you would fear God and that you would believe on his Son. That's our message. That's what that angel was declaring there in chapter 14 of Revelation. The eternal gospel. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You see, God isn't to be played with. Don't get it twisted. The Bible says God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll reap. If he reaps to the flesh, he'll reap destruction. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. You see, God isn't going to be played with. You can't trifle with God. You can't act like he doesn't understand, he doesn't see. Yes, God sees. God sees everything. The Bible says on the day when men stand, when everybody stands before his great white throne, there are going to be books that are open. And And these books are recording everything you've thought bad, every good, bad thing you've done in your life. And the only ones that are saved from that day are the ones whose name are in the other book, and it's called the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And that only gets written with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those who have been bought by His blood, their names will be written there. So there is coming that day, that wrath is coming. Well, Pastor, come on, what do we do wrong? Why is God got to be, why is God coming to punish and deal with sin? Why is God going to do this? Well, let's talk about that. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Why is God's wrath coming? Why is it coming? It's a logical question. And sometimes we ask this question thinking we're clean, that we don't deserve God's wrath. Human beings, you know, the proverb says, every man will declare his own goodness. Any man will declare, I'm good. Let me tell you, no one's good. No one. I'm not good. No one. No one is good but one, God. He is good. He is holy. He is pure. He knew that. That's why He sent His Son, and we're going to talk about that. But you got to understand why His wrath is coming, because we're not good. And we're doing a lot of bad things in this world. Look what it says there in verse 19. Verse 18. He says His wrath is going to be is being revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So the apostle begins to reveal why God's wrath is coming on humanity. He starts with the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Listen, I love the way a commentator put it, David Guzik. This is what he said. Ungodliness refers to man's offenses against God. That's what ungodliness means. How we as men, humanity, have offended a holy God. Unrighteousness refers to the sins of man against man. That means when you and I sin against each other, that is the unrighteous living that we have. We're sinning against one another. I love the way he put that. I thought that was awesome. And I just pray that that encourages, if you want to write that down. Again, ungodliness refers to man's offenses against God. Unrighteousness refers to the sins of man against man, when men and men sin against each other. As a result of unrighteousness, humanity suppresses the truth. They hinder the truth. When people are living in wickedness and ungodliness and unrighteousness, they suppress the truth about God and who He is. They suppress it. They don't want to hear it. Hey, you're a Christian, you come and you want to share with them. I don't want to hear it. They suppress the truth. Look what he says, they suppress the truth. Simply put, sin is the reason the wrath of God is coming. Sin. The wrath of God is coming because of sin in the world. The sin we commit as men, as human beings, the wrath of God is coming. And we suppress the truth. Humanity in large has suppressed the truth about the only true God. They attempt to hold back or hinder what can be known about God in creation. Did you know that? Today, there are professors in universities, there are teachers in schools today who suppress the truth about God in nature. They say, oh, we came from some asteroid that came down and all of a sudden we became what we are. Or they believe in the theory of evolution and they say, oh, we came from this, we evolved, we were monkeys at one time and we evolved to being human beings. And they insult the intelligence of people. But people, because of the darkening of their hearts and minds, they believe this because they teach it to children and push it on their minds to think. And they suppress the truth about God and who He is and His creation, how He created everything. They suppress that. You see this in verses 19 and through 23. Look at this. It says, for what can be known about God is plain to them. What can be known of God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. So they begin to suppress the truth, and they begin to exchange the glory of the immortal God for images of birds, of men. Remember, we were talking about Paul's going to go to Rome. He wants to speak to the Roman church. He wants to bring the word of God to them. Remember that? And we talked about how the emperors thought of themselves as being divine, as God, as they were God. They wanted people to worship them because they were the emperor of Rome. And remember that they kicked out the Jewish people out of Rome because of they were monotheistic. They believed in only one God, and they would not worship man or idols. Remember? And Paul is saying that's what we do as men. When we suppress the truth, we begin to worship ourselves and created things. They deny and they suppress the truth. And theologically speaking, what they're suppressing is God's general revelation. They're suppressing God's general revelation. You can know God. You can know there's a God through what he created. He said they're going to be without excuse. There is no excuse. There's nobody on God's green earth, anywhere in the world, that can't know that there's a God, because he's revealed it in his creation. God's general revelation. Well, what does the church have? God's special revelation about his son. And we're bringing that special revelation so they can come and be reconciled to the God they're offending. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. And they're offending God by the way they're living. And they're suppressing that truth about who he is in creation. So Paul says, because we can know God through what he created, and we're without excuse. We have no thing. And when we suppress the truth, listen what happened. Here's the next thing. Here's what keeps happening. We keep going. When you suppress the truth about God, it leads to idolatry. When you begin to suppress the truth about who God is, you begin to commit idolatry. And idolatry leads us to becoming foolish in our thinking and our hearts being darkened. It causes us not to understand anymore. It causes our thinking to be off. We're not in the right perspective. We're not thinking like we should, because we have believed a lie. The Bible, look, let's keep on going. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why? Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And then as a result of suppressing that truth about God, they begin to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So what happens when we begin to suppress the truth about who God is, because we're living in sin and we don't want to turn from it? We know what we're doing is wrong, and we suppress what God's saying about the matter, and we suppress the truth about God and creation. We suppress it all. We don't want to hear about God. I'm telling you right now, everywhere you turn around in our society, they're wanting to push God out. They push God out of the schools, and then they complain, why are we having mass shootings in schools? Well, you kicked them out of school. You didn't want them in school. You didn't want God there. You wanted idolatry there. You didn't want the commandments in the walls. You didn't want teachers reading from the Bible to students. So what do you expect? Man left to himself, the Bible says God turns him over to a reprobate mind. He turns him over, and it's this spiral. You keep going down and down and down. And your understanding is dark. You no longer have light. Remember, Jesus said, if the light in you, how dark is it in you? Your eyes are the windows of the soul. How dark is that light in you? And he goes on, they begin to exchange and they begin to become foolish in their hearts. Their hearts become darkened, their understanding. You know, think about it today. We, our understanding today, men begin because they begin to worship created things rather than creator. Now they begin to say, well, I don't feel like I'm a man. I'm a woman now. And they begin to have gender dysphoria and they begin to start thinking of themselves as a man given God by birth, made them men. They were born men, declaring in their minds that, hey, I'm a woman and I want to be a woman. And they do all they can to change themselves to become a woman. That is God giving someone over to a reprobate mind, to foolishness in their hearts. Look at, with love in my heart for you, maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're watching and you're someone that has transitioned. You will never be able to be a woman. God made you a man. And the Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake. Repent and turn to the Lord. Because there's wrath coming. There's a wrath coming. And it's why. These are the things. And he goes on. Here goes on. Paul telling us, why is wrath coming? Here's the sin that keeps coming. So first, the sin begins with idolatry. What does idolatry lead us to? Sexual morality. When you begin to worship other gods, you become sexually immoral. Did you know that? That one of the transitions from you worshiping the only true God, you begin to worship idols, you become a sexually immoral person. And it's all its ways. Look what he says in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. That means women are no longer having sexual relations with men. They are now with each other. That's what that means. It's unnatural. They got away from what is natural to do what is not natural. Verse 27, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. You think about homosexuality and all of these things. This is not new. This is not new. It was happening then. Why? Because it comes when we become idol worshipers. When we begin to worship what is created rather than creator, it leads us into living a life that is and doing ungodly things that offend God. Oh, I don't want you to be mistaken, man. I'm saying this because this is the truth and we need it. This is what's happening. Men had turned away from natural relations. We're seeing that today, even in our society. I heard a statistic about 20-something percent of Gen Z don't identify as with any gender. 20-something percent of Gen Z. It goes on and on, downward spiral. Downward spiral. Why? Because lust is never satisfied. Love is what's satisfied, but lust keeps taking and taking and it's never satisfied. I'm never happy. Ask that person hooked on sexual morality. The more they get, the more they feel they need more. Maybe they're watching pornography, and the more they look and it just doesn't satisfy, they need more, they need more. They can't just, they won't watch it for once because, oh, I want to see it for the first time. No, it just keeps on and keeps on. And why? Because I'm not happy. Think about the addicted person who's addicted to that idol, that drug, and they're worshiping it. They're at his altar. They give everything they have to get that fix again. And they begin to do things, shameless things, in order to please their God. And that's what happens. God turns you over when you exchange the truth for the lie. He turns you over. God is a gentleman. God doesn't force anybody to follow him. Jesus, when he told someone, follow me, he didn't go, and you better get over here. No, no. He just said simply, follow me. And if they came, they came. And if they didn't, it's on them. And God is telling you today, I set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life. Choose blessing. And that blessing and that life is found in the Son, in His Son. And the downward spiral continues. Let's keep going. They're not only doing dishonorable things. They're not only doing shameful sexual immorality. It goes on here, and since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, they don't acknowledge God anymore. God gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So not only that, there are other shameless things that people begin to do. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, meaning that, remember, we talked about unrighteousness, how they sin against each other, men against men, people, humanity sinning against each other. He goes on and says here in verse 29, evil is in their heart, covetousness, you know, is in their heart, malice is in their heart. They are full of envy. Look at it, full of murder. How are we not seeing this today? Do we not see that people who have worshipped idols are murderers? We're in the news, oh, how does this happen? And how, why is this person doing it? Do you know that the truth about some of these supposedly transitioning people, some transgender people, they have been killing people. They have done those, some of these mass shootings, the ones in the school, that person was a woman who thought she was a man, who shot up those kids in that Christian school. Another person that was on the news, but they didn't publicize it. Why? Because that defeats their narrative to normalize this. I'm not, I don't hate them. I want them to be born again. I want them to be saved. I want them to come to know Christ, just as I had to come to know Christ. But the truth is the truth, that when you turn away from God, you are left to become a murderer in your heart. Any one of us, apart from Christ, can murder someone. Apart from the love of God in us, will murder someone. You notice I didn't say kill. We talked about murder. Why? Because you're killing somebody without a cause. There's no cause to kill children. And yet they did it, and they rejoiced in what they were doing. Talked about murder. It talks about they had strife, they had deceit, malice. They're gossips. Oh, yes, pastor. Well, what about those other murderers? Yeah, there are races that are murderers as well. It's all out there. What I'm telling you is a man or a woman without part from God can become that. As they continue down the downward spiral of their ungodliness and unrighteousness and the suppression of the truth. And this is why he goes on, they're slanderers, they're haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Listen to this. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. So knowing that God isn't pleased and that those who live like this are going to die in their sins, they not only do what God is offending God, but they approve of others doing it. They spread this like gangrene among people, and it's happening. That's why parents are trying to fight in the schools to keep these things out of the school. They're trying to sexualize children. That's why parents are like, leave my kids alone. I don't want my child, my daughter, to think she's a boy at her age. She don't know anything about that. That's our place. And thank God that some righteous people, some people are actually fighting for that. Thank God for that. As a matter of fact, I want to applaud our representatives here in our state. We actually did something about it. We passed a law to protect children from gender reassignment surgeries and all that kind of stuff. We stopped that. Why? Because a parent does not have the right to abuse their child. They don't have a right to do it. Children are children. They need to be children, and they need to be loved and nurtured. They're the future of our society. How could we twist their minds and pervert their minds at a young age? We need to help them understand truth. But when you're devoid of truth yourself, you can't give it. So it's a downward spiral that continues. And this is why God's wrath is coming. This is why God's wrath is being revealed. It's going to come because this is happening. God is just. When God is going to judge this world, it's not going to be because he's just a bad God. No, he is a holy God, and he is a good God, and he is righteous. He will not allow this to continue. And the only reason that he's tarrying, the only reason is because this is mercy. Because he wants to save you. He wants to save us. Let me give you some hope here. Anybody want some hope? I do. I want to give you some hope. Let me leave you this morning with hope. If you're still breathing, you have life in your bodies, there is still time for you to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a chance right now. You're living, you're breathing, you're watching this message on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, wherever you are. You're listening it on a podcast. You're hearing this message. You have an opportunity right there. You can stop, pull over your car. You can stop there, repent, turn to the Lord, and ask Jesus to come into your life, ask Jesus to save you. Confess him with your mouth that he is Lord, that you believe God raised him from the dead, and God will save you. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will live a new life. Let me give you some scriptures to take home with you, to think of the goodness of the Lord. Jesus is the only means for our salvation. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you right now, I know the way. I know the truth, and I'm pointing you to him. I'm going to say like the Apostle Paul says, I know in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've entrusted unto him. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, look what it says. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? Jesus Christ, we're saved from the wrath of God because of the blood that Jesus shed on the Calvary, on that cross for you. And all these people that are mocking the cross and mocking the sacrifice that Jesus did, I want you to know that Jesus died for them too. And I want you to know that cross and that blood that was shed on the Calvary, if you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, that blood will wash away your sins. And it'll protect you from the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Look at what Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. It says, For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Chapter 5 of that same book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Oh, I'm giving you some hope this morning. I know it's hard to hear, you know. Can you think about what God sees every day? How it grieves his heart to see the sin in the world. And we hear about it just a little bit. It makes us feel uncomfortable. We're sweating. Pastor, that's hard to hear. Imagine God sees it all. And I'm thankful that he did something about it. He sent his Son. He's remembering mercy in the midst of his wrath that's coming. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10, I'm going to end with this. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Man, can somebody say amen to that? Amen. God, through his Son, those who have put their trust in Jesus are not destined for that wrath that's coming. Why? Because we have obtained our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. I don't have to be afraid of that. Because he took what I owe God, my sin, he took it upon himself on the cross. And that's why I'm free. And he wants to set you free. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I know this was a hard word to hear. Maybe somebody's going to watch and it's hard, but it's good. It's good for the soul. And Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. But I pray today that if someone's watching or listening, someone here potentially does not know you, that this message today would cause them to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, what if a man gains the whole world yet loses his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, I tell you, there's not a relationship, there's not a career, there's not anything you're pursuing in this life that is worth your soul. Today is the day of salvation. You're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't do what it was saying here, that they began to suppress the truth. That you're hearing God's word right now and you're saying, no, I don't want it. Push it away from you. Don't do that. I'm pleading with you, don't do that. You don't know what's awaiting for you in eternity apart from God. But today, God wants to reconcile you to himself through his Son. And he wants to deliver you from the wrath that's coming. Would you repent? Would you believe on him? There's no magic prayer. Just humble yourself and confess, tell God, hey, Lord, I've been doing this against you. And I ask you to forgive me. And I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart, God, that you raised Jesus. Not only that he died for me, but that you rose him from the dead. And one day he's coming back for me. And for those who have believed on him. God will fill you with his Spirit. And you will be made new. And if you're a believer today, maybe you've heard this message and it has challenged you to have some reverence for God, some holy fear for the Lord. Maybe it retuned your mind to think, you know, man, God, deliver me from such a great wrath. How can I not serve him? How can I not obey him? He loved me with such a great love. The Bible says, God demonstrated his love in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were helpless, and he sent his Son. And we can be, as Christians, we can be grateful for that, and we can be about our Father's business. We can go proclaim and equip. We can go and make disciples. Use us, Lord, this week. Use us to be your light in this world, Lord, and be salt. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.